The Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 The last day harvest is not something future. It's something that's occurring. It's happening right here. It's happening around the world. The problem is many are called, but only a few answer the call. That's the problem. Why aren't we seeing this whole community that's unchurched come to church, come to Christ and come to church? Because many are called, but few are chosen. Now, that's not some doctrine of election that is predetermined. Amen. The call is to everyone, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Can you say, man, it's for you and your children and as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he said, go into all the world and call them all. Can you say, man, essentially, preach the gospel to who? Every creature, everybody you see, share the testimony of Jesus with them. At every opportunity that you have, praise God. Well, when we got this email, I began to reflect on all the years. I want to hear something when I get to heaven more than I want to see the holy city. I want to hear him, and more than just see him, I want to hear him say something. The greatest reward and joy of my life, for all of these years and all of these tears that go with it sometimes, amen, is to hear my master say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Praise God. Doug, really, your code name for email and all of that is doulos, which is the Greek word for slave, a bond slave, literally working out a debt for someone. And it's that word that's really weak in the King James and the rendering, because it doesn't encapsulate what it really means. When Paul said, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, he wasn't just a servant of the Lord. He was a bondslave to the Lord. And he had done it willingly because he loved him with all of his heart. Praise God. And I can't say that I haven't had times when I knew I wasn't giving my best for Jesus. But he has never, ever not given his best for me. If we have been, you know, when I write, we've been in ministry for 40 years, or when I address other ministers, there's an instant credibility given. I don't want to just be a survivor of life and of ministry. I want to be a victor. I want to be a victorious. I want a testimony. I want a legacy that I lived in victory. That this wasn't just a journey of survival, but a journey of going from faith to faith and strength to strength. And you know, you don't graduate to the next degree of strength until something weakens you and causes you to be more dependent on him. You don't go from strength to strength by not never being weak, but getting weak enough to realize how much you need him. Those of you that are trying to go from strength to strength by just going higher and higher and higher, that's not how you get there. You're on the wrong road to strength. The Old Testament gives you a glimpse of how it's supposed to work, because it says to them that hath no might, he increases strength. Amen? So you don't qualify if you think you're pretty strong. You just don't qualify. I'm getting stronger every day. No, you're not. You're getting more independent from God every day is what's happening to you. Now it's your faith, not his faithfulness. Amen? It's your faith. Faith in your faith, when your faith wavers, is going to let you down. Faith in his faithfulness will never let you down. Paul said, you know, something was keeping me in a state of such dependence on God. He said, in fact, there was an emissary. Everybody say emissary. That means a special agent. That means a hand-picked demon. Paul was such a threat to Satan's domain and all the people he had enslaved. He picked out a demon of the top of the... he said, if there's anybody that can bring him down this way, he's going to cause him all kind of trouble. He's going to... Every day when he gets up, trouble is going to be knocking on his front door. Persecution is going to be intense. False brethren are going to be around him. Everything that the devil could throw at him, he threw at him, and he picked his very best agent. Emissary means special agent. He said, you, I don't want you messing with nobody else. I'm assigning you to one man who is such a threat to me. You got to bring him down. Discourage him, dishearten him, distract him. There was an emissary sent from Satan to buffet me. And he said three times, because see, he wanted to do like most of us. We get strong and we feel strong. Well, I want to even get stronger. Hallelujah. See, I feel your spirit right now. You ain't ready for this. You think you're strong today. You didn't come here, amen, to confess how weak you really are and how much you need Christ. You came here to let us know how mighty you are. When a man says, behold, I stand. You're the one in jeopardy today. You're the one. I love to preach to people that know how weak they are. There's hope for them. There's strength for them. There's help for them. There's grace for them. I don't like to preach to preachers. Quite frankly, I do not want an audience of ministers. Number one, they know it all. And I'm one of them, but I listen, when somebody's speaking, I say, Lord, is there something here for me? Right. Amen. Are you going to say something directly to me through this message? Right. Could it be today that it's not my brother or my sister, but it's me that's standing in the need of prayer? Yeah. Amen. Could it possibly be it's me? Yeah. Could it be? I don't like to preach to preachers or speak to preachers, but the little bit that I do say, I remember I was at a funeral one time, and after the funeral was over, a young minister, he just got his first pastorate, and he came up to me and he said, Brother Venable, how long have you been in ministry? Well, at that time, you know, I was just young in the ministry, just 25 or 30 years, which is now working on 41, and I said, you know something, young man, I said, one of these days, I said, I'm going to sit down when the Lord puts me out to pasture. I'm going to sit down and just write a book about all the things that we experienced in His work and how faithful He was and with the grace that He gave. And He said, oh, He said, if you write that book, I want a copy. I want a copy. I want a copy. I want a copy. It is so important. And you know what gives me an edge? 40 years of not just, listen, 40 years in my marriage, mate. Did you know that the pressure of ministry and pastoring is breaking up marriages? Did you know that the statistics of marriage that are broken up among preachers and clergy is climbing, it's on the rise right now? The pressure of ministry. One lady said the church is his mistress. No, he's not an adulterer. No, he didn't go out and run off with some lady in the church. The church itself, the ministry, the demand of it, and this ambition to drive it and make it something big to bring glory and honor to the person. Because God isn't going to burn you out and mess up your family and alienate you from your children in the name of ministry. Amen? I had to apologize to my son. He played basketball for River Hills. He was the first graduating class of River Hills Christian School. He was in the first. I gave a talk to the first graduating class and an invocation of River Hills Christian School. Their very first year, my son, he showed he could actually apply himself if he wanted to. He found out if he could take more than one grade at a time, that he could do two grades at a time, and he finished 2 years of school in 1 year so he could get out of school and go crazy. Amen. So, amen, which he did. But I remember I remember speaking to those young people, that first graduating class. And I thought, oh Lord, how we need Christians that are going from strength to strength, faith to faith, and glory to glory. Amen? Strength to strength doesn't come by adding strength to your strength. It's being mature enough to understand just how weak you really are. And I really am. Apart from me, what did Jesus say about you? Now don't substitute anointings for a dependence on Him. The anointing does not keep you. How art the mighty fallen? How could it happen? When I saw certain ministers fail, I asked myself the same question. How could it happen? How could they, with such powerful ministries, powerful anointings, how could they, Terry? I understand why somebody that's not that powerful in God, but how can someone preach with that kind of power, with that kind of anointing, end up in that kind of sin, in that kind of mess? We had a pastor recently that addressed us, and he said, if you think, and this is to ministers, I appreciate what he said. He said, if you think that you are immune to temptation, particularly in the area of sexual sin. I like what he said. Actually, it was Bill Perkins who made the statement, and he just repeated. He said, then you're wiser than Solomon, stronger than Samson, and more godly than David. Can I run that by you again? If you think that you are in such a state of super sanctification that you're immune to temptation, particularly in the area of sexual sin, then obviously you're wiser than Solomon, stronger than Samson, and more godly than David. I don't believe anybody is. When real revival comes, there are no exceptions. Amen. We all begin to confess our sins and our need for His grace and our need to get close to Him and stay close to Him. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't go from strength to strength by getting stronger, Him adding strength to your strength. You go from strength to strength when whatever you have, you acknowledge that without Him, I can do nothing. The longer I live, the more childlike my faith and dependence becomes. Amen. I'm serious about this. Amen. Some people want to get a revelation. I got a revelation that's deep. You need a realization of your need for Jesus, and you need to stay close to Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, Paul said there was an emissary from Satan sent to buffet me. And I prayed thrice for this to be removed. This is an impediment to my ministry. This is in the way of going out there and taking the world for Jesus. This, all of this buffeting, all of this trouble and persecutions that just keep coming one right after another. And you know something? Heaven is quiet. Heaven is quiet. You see, God resists what? What is it in us that brings His resistance? God resists the proud. Who gets the grace? Not the grease. I know the squeaky wheel and all of that. Who gets the grace? The humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Don't promote yourself. Humble yourself. And He will exalt you. When He sees that He can do that and it won't ruin you. Amen. Amen. Pride can ruin you. It's been the ruin of so many. Saul Saul started out so right and he ended up so wrong. Saul became a king, an anointed, appointed king over Israel. He led them right until he got lifted up in himself. And the day that he did, he quit listening to God and started walking in disobedience and rebellion. And when the prophet met him coming back with the spoils of war to show off, instead of obey God, he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. What means this, the bleeding of the sheep and the braying of the oxen? Oh, I brought these back to, listen, it's always framed in, it's all for God. Can you say, man, it's always for God. Oh, this is for the Lord. We're building this for God. There's a church down in South Florida that when they built their new sanctuary, and it's all to the glory of God, you see. Actually, this is true. Went to the architects and said, go down to the city records and see what the tallest steeple and tallest building of a church is, and we want ours 20 foot taller than the tallest one. Pride can creep into anybody. Ruins you. Your spiritual progression is gone. You can't go any further in God. You don't go from strength to strength unless you acknowledge your weakness and your dependence on the Lord. You have to humble yourself. Amen? Unless you be... Listen, you can't even get in God's kingdom unless you become as a child. You have to humble yourself. If you don't become as a little child, there's no way you're going in God's kingdom. You can't take that pride and self-sufficiency into that kingdom. It only grants to those that come to Him and bow before Him and cry out to Him. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It's real important. It's real important. One of the things that holds back revival is a lot of people that think they've arrived. I've made it. I have achieved something. I have crested the top and I'm standing on top of the mountain. National Geographic, I've told you this before, but they ran the story years ago of the first American to plant the flag on Everest. There's a story behind the story. And he got all the glory. He got the accolades. He's in the history books. And they had pictures of him in National Geographic magazine standing there with a planted flag. But there's a guy that knew how to get up that side of the mountain. And when he got up near the top, He even with oxygen aided, he was give out. But his guide, this man that lived in the Himalayas, lived in the mountains, this man crested the top and pulled that poor boy up. But nobody took his picture. Can you say, man? If you crest a mountaintop spiritually, God pulls you up. Make no mistake about it. You didn't do it through your faith, but His faithfulness. Amen? It's a lot of preaching and teaching will put faith in your faith, and it will call faith a force. Amen? Sounds Star Wars stuff to me. The force be with you. Yes, by the force of my faith. Yes, bless God. I believe God. Nothing's going to... Oh, baloney. Just quit it. Just stop it. Quit bragging long enough to give God the glory for whatever victory you have or hope to have. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. Listen, this is important. I'm not going scripture by scripture, but for time's sake, and we could have a Bible study on any of these subjects and get down deep into the Word of God. But listen to me carefully. Saul, I got three things going. Let's finish Paul. Paul, an emissary from Satan sent above at him. Three times he prays. When you pray and don't get an answer, that could be the answer. It's just not the one you wanted. Can you say amen? But if you will accept the answer, you may get an explanation. Amen? I remember that song, we used to sing it. Boy, we used to get on fire singing this song. Well, I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. He knew just what I wanted, and He gave me what I wanted. And I got just what I wanted from the Lord. Hey, man, everybody can shout when you get just what you want. Can you say, man? I don't read where it says, my God shall give you everything you want, but it said, my God shall supply your need. And Paul needed something constantly to remind him of his need for the grace and strength of God in his life. So he said, there was given to me an emissary from Satan to buffet me, and I prayed three times. And no answer came. And while he waited and mused upon those things, God explained something to him. And he said, when the explanation came, he was able to accept the answer that God had given him. And he said, God spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is perfected in weakness. One loose paraphrase of that I really think says it pretty good is, my strength shows up best in weak people. Can you say amen? Amen. Because there's something, you know it's not them. You know it's God. They know it's not them. They know it's God. Have you ever spoke to someone and the Spirit of the Lord rose up inside of you and you know, I'm not this wise and I'm not this smart? Can you say, man? Or have you ever spoke to one and said, oh, I'm so wise and I'm so smart, I'm glad I got to talk. No, when He rises up, because you depend on Him. Amen. Praise God. If they bring you before councils, they say, don't even try to get some big defense of and think what you're going to say beforehand and get it all figured out. Some preachers actually preach before a mirror first before they go before the audience. And they practice. And it says here, God is my refuge. A very present help in time of trouble. It gets crazy out there in clergy world. One morning, young minister got up. He's got a wife and he's got a couple of children. And his wife is out there in the audience to cheer him on and amen him like my wife. And he preaches just like Oral Roberts that Sunday. Sounds like Oral Roberts was in the building. Every word, every mannerism. Next Sunday, he came out and preached his sermon just like mannerisms, diction, everything like Billy Graham. Next Sunday, his wife saw him studying, you know, getting ready for the service. And she just stuck her head in the door and said, who are you going to be this Sunday? Are you going to be Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or T.D. Jakes? Who are you going to be? He got convicted and said, I'm going to be me. Can you say amen? When pride begins to enter in, then God doesn't have a vessel that He can use. And He knew it will ruin. It's been the ruin of so many leaders. Been the ruin! In fact, it is the sin that made a high-ranking angel the devil that we know today. Amen. You know what he said? I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the congregation of the north. Listen, you talk about pride. I will be like the Most High. The Bible said, because of that, thou shalt be cast down. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou fallen from heaven? Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Can you say amen? And there's a doctrine out there. Here's how far it goes. I heard a preacher preaching on this. He said, you build your faith. He'd written a whole book on it. selling tapes on it. And he said, I got a book out there how to build your faith to where you can chart. He used the exact words, how you can chart your own course. In other words, whatever you want, you can claim and you can have. Whatever you desire, whatever. And people buying it right and left. You know that these crazy people, you probably got it at home. That's why you're looking so sheepish. You say, no, Brother Venable, the reason I'm looking sheepish is because I'm a sheep. Okay. The Bible said, literally, it's not in man that walketh to choose his own way, literally translated, to chart his own course. Here's a book and a set of tapes for $120 of how to chart your own course, and you got God saying, it's not in man that walketh to chart his own course. Amen? I don't want the wheel.
Amen.
I've said it before, Sean, I don't want to drive.
Amen.
I want Jesus to drive.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And listen, not only that, but I don't want to sit in the back seat and be a back seat driver. And say, Jesus, you shouldn't have turned that way. That's a bumpy road, Jesus. Here's the smooth road. We'll get there faster on this road. Come on, Jesus. No. I'd be afraid he'd gang me up, put me in the trunk, and say, you just stay there until we get where we're going. Hush up. Pride goeth before what? Destruction. It's the sin that made an angel a devil. It'll ruin you. It'll ruin you. Pentecostalism has a propensity to pride because there's power can come upon. Don't think power is a substitute for His grace and His mercy in your life. Saul. What means this? The bleeding of the sheep, the braying of the oxen, God told you to bring nothing back. Here's the answer. Pride always has an excuse for disobedience to God. I brought these back to offer to God. He's going to be so pleased when I look at the, look at those oxen, they're prize oxen. No, it was pride. It was saying, look what I did. Look here what I brought back. So the prophet said, is God as pleased with sacrifice? Or is it obedience he's looking for? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, to listen to him, than the fat of rams. Then he said this. This is very telling. When thou wast little in thine own eyes, I made you a king over Israel. I could trust you, amen, to lead under my leadership properly. But now your kingdom is going to be taken from you and it's going to be given to another. And who did he pick? David. And why did he pick him? Amen. The Bible said, he said, this is what God said about who he was going to pick before he even picked, before he named David or revealed his pick. He said, I will choose me a man after my own heart. That's why we have the term David was a man after God's own heart. Because that's the choice he made after God made that statement. Who will obey me in all things that I command. Didn't say he would be perfect in all of these other areas, but he has a heart to obey. I'm not looking for a great leader up here that can be... listen. David, they got jealous of him because God blessed him and God used him, and Saul got jealous of him and threw a javelin at him and went for a hunt to find him and destroy him. When David went down to slay the giant, he didn't go down to slay the giant. He didn't go down there to show off and show out. Amen? Amen? The Bible said He went down to bring bread and cheese to his brethren. Everybody say a servant heart. A man after God's own heart, number one, is a man with humility and a servant heart. That's why he picked David, a man after my own heart. I cringe when I see on a poster of any preacher, God's man of faith and power. It just doesn't ring right. Because Jesus, God's incarnate, made of himself
no reputation.
So when we get self-promoted, he promoted the kingdom of God. He promoted his Father. Let me give you that scenario. Everybody say mind. We had a lady who used to fly off the handle and tell people off. And she used to always tell me, she called Channel 13 one time and told them off. And she said, I called him up, Brother Venable, and I gave him a piece of my mind. And I thought, just how many pieces are you going to give away before you lose your mind? But I've heard this little cliche statement. I've lost my mind and got the mind of Christ. Oh, really? Oh, really? Oh, really? Let this mind be in you and me, which was also in Christ the Lord, who made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and was obedient even to the death of the cross. Would you like to hear what else happens when that happens? Therefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name that is named, of things in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, that at the sound of his name every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God. Woo! When are we going to get it? Hey, look at me is not what he did. Where's the humility? Where's the humility? Jimmy Swaggart said this. I remember my wife's grandmother weeping when he fell the first time. She wailed when the second time occurred. So I talk about this. Should we talk about this? Is it hidden? Is it something we should... Here's what he said. He said, I had good men around me. People I could account to. People that if I had confessed to, they would have prayed for me and with me. Let me show you the difference. James Robinson said, I had a problem with lust. I'm going to read this again. If you think that you're immune from sexual sin, you're wiser than Solomon, stronger than Samson, and more godly than David. We need Jesus. We need to stay close to him. We need to stay humble. You know, the Bible said we're to confess our faults to one another. And not judge one another, but pray for one another. That we might be healed. That we might get the help that we need when we need it. But you don't get it by being too proud to admit it. Oh, that rhymes, don't it? Let me see it again. Pastor Buster rhyme again this morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, you've got to admit it to get it. Can you say amen? You've got to admit it to get it. Remember it when you go home. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't get it if you're not going to admit it. If we say we have no sin, we're lying to God. We're lying to ourselves. The enemy has an inroad into our life. But if we open up and fess up and confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just in forgiving us and cleansing us. Hallelujah. Cleansing us from iniquity. and unrighteousness. Amen. Repentance is not a welcome message to those who have arrived. But it's needed. There will be no revival until there's repentance for sins of commission and omission and attitudes and actions. From the pulpit throughout the church, there's no one immune from temptation. There's no one perfect. We need God. We need His grace. We need His strength. We need each other. And we need to qualify for it by confessing how weak we are. Amen. Because Jesus humbled Himself, it starts with humility. Without humility, there's going to be no obedience. At some point, we're going to do our thing. And we'll want our way more than we want His will. And because of a lack of humility in the church world today, there's a message out there that people are grabbing. And it's the message that said, I can have what I say. Remember when Eli's sons made themselves vile, offered strange fire in the temple? God quit talking to that priest. He quit hearing from God. Amen. He restrained them not. But there's a young man that God is anointing and getting ready to appoint to an office. He's back there. He's just a servant. Amen. To the priest. Servant heart again. Hallelujah. Amen. When God talked to him, he didn't even know what was happening. He wasn't promoting himself as some big shot. He was just wanting to serve his master. He didn't have an ambition to be a big prophet or a big priest, but God had an office for him to fill, and he didn't even realize it. Amen. He came to Eli and said, Eli, he said, at night lying upon my bed, he said, I hear a voice. See, Eli used to hear that same voice when he was humble and committed and obedient to God. Amen. He knew that that young man was hearing God speak to him. Amen. And he said, the next time you hear that, he said, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know how to respond to it. I don't know. And Eli said, the next time you hear that voice, you respond this way. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. I'm here to listen to you, to give heed to you, to obey you, whatever you want to say to me. I'm here to listen and to hear and to obey. Can you say amen? You know what has happened today in the name of faith and our authority? Amen. We've turned that whole thing around. I said we've turned it around. We've turned it upside down, inside out. We got the ox pushing the cart instead of pulling the cart. You know what it is today? Listen, Lord. Thy servant speaketh. They call us, name it, claim it. Bless God, we named it, claim it. Bless God, we got it. Got what? The Mercedes, the Rolex, the airplane. We're talking about God's kingdom. We're talking about His will. We're talking about humility. We're talking about following Jesus and letting His mind be in us. Don't show me your car. Don't show me your ring. Don't show me your watch or your bank account. Show me Jesus in your life. Don't show me your anointing. Don't show me how many people follow you in ministry. Show me Jesus. Because I'm not impressed with the rest of it. Jimmy Swagger said, and this is his words, I could have avoided this. This did not have to happen to me. But he couldn't do it on his own. Let me show you what pride does. Jimmy said, and this is his words, and I believe we ought to listen to somebody who's been in that place. They can tell us something. You know what he said? He said, I had good men around me that would have prayed for me and help me to overcome this area of temptation that I was giving into. If I had confessed it to the good men, godly men, they could have helped me. But I didn't do it because I was Jimmy Swagger. Is that correct?
Amen.
Why? Does an anointing and an office and gifts take away your humility to admit your need? Do revelations, special gifts, does that take away your humility? Pride preceded destruction. And a haughty spirit, I won't be viewed the same if I admit this weakness. I will not be held in such esteem if I go to an altar. Amen? I went to a meeting when I was going through nervous exhaustion. I was in Atlanta at the Omni. Speaker was speaking. And the power and presence of God came down. And it wasn't the message, it was just that presence of the Lord. And there must have been 150 preachers in that meeting. Boy, I'm glad it was him doing the preaching. And he was probably glad that the Spirit came down. Because 150 preachers, that some of them with degrees in theology and some of them with strong anointings and all of that, it's very difficult. Amen? Amen? To preach to them. But I was a broken preacher going through nervous exhaustion. I needed Jesus. I cried out, Lord in heaven. I went to PTL and some people with the gift of healing was praying for people, and I thought, this is my night. This is my night. This is my night. Sure as the world. Lord, I need you so bad. I was out there hurting for certain. Just hanging on, oh God. I remember that couple praying for people that night. They said, you, right there. And I thought, I told you it was my night. Somebody going to call me out, lay hands on me, zap me with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to jump right back in that pulpit and lay it on. Ain't going through no valley. Ain't going to climb no mountain. Ain't got time for that. Called me up front and I said, this is mine. I've been praying, fasting, seeking. I'm here ready to receive. And they said, we need somebody to catch these people, and they fall out. Boy, I was hopping mad. I thought, Lord, I didn't come here to catch nobody. Let somebody else catch somebody. I came here to be caught. And I caught about 100 people with another man. Laid them all out. I come back the next night. I thought, tonight is my night. They were preaching and teaching and the anointing was coming. I thought, they're going to call me again tonight. This time it's going to be for me. Hallelujah. And I'm the one out here with the big need. Amen. They said, you, sir, right there. Yes, you. And I thought, yeah, me. I jumped up. I know it's me. This is my night. And I stood up. And they said, the Spirit of the Lord is just hovering all over you. That's not what I want to hear. I'm broken. I need fixing. The anointing, when you don't have peace and you're going through nervous exhaustion, just being anointed to preach is not enough. You need peace. You need grace. You need help. That wasn't my night either. But in the Omni, and God will help you get to that place of humility and surrender. Amen. If you want to be there. Amen. We were going everywhere just looking for a touch somewhere to help us because we were in desperate need. My wife going through it with me. We both were going through it. We checked into a bed and breakfast because it was cheaper. I was driving her. Yeah, I had the problem. I caused her problem. When she saw me without peace, it shook her faith. It shook her confidence. And anyway, there wasn't no room in none of the hotels. And we found a bed and breakfast cheaper than a hotel room. We checked into a little bed and breakfast on the outskirts near Buckhorn Springs in Atlanta. We got up there. Sitting on that table was a bowl of fruit and a bottle of wine. And I thought, Lord have mercy. Devil never gives up. Now, I used to try to drink some of my mama's wine when she used to drink wine. And it tastes like grape juice with vinegar. And I love Kool-Aid better. Amen? It's like when I first started smoking. You know, first time you take a cigarette, your body is going to tell you, what in the world do you think you're doing? And in order to get the cigarette habit, you got to override that and suck it down again. Say, this is what I'm doing. I'm smoking. You're going to love it after a while. And I did love it. But there's that bottle of wine. And you know what? I could just hear the enemy. I could hear him saying, you know, if you pour yourself a couple of glasses of that wine, guess what? He can get you some peace. Come on. You can take a couple of sips of that wine, and you don't have to stand around begging for crumbs. Take a couple of glasses of that wine and relax and unwind. And you know what scared me the most? Was that if I did that, and it worked, guess what? I'm hooked. That is my answer. Come on. Everybody know how drink works and drugs work? And I said, if I die, I'll die seeking Him. I won't seek some substitute for Him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I preach the gospel, it's got to work for me. Can you say amen? My wife had the enemy talk to her. He was on us then. We were both down in that valley. And we were up high, third story, fire escape. He was telling her, just jump. Jump and all this pressure be over. Everything. He told Jesus, jump off of here. Jump off. Jump. Jump. She afraid she'd be all crippled up and she'd just go to, well, I don't know. So I said, I'm going to the meeting. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to sit under somebody. I'm not going to sit over there with the preachers and be seen. I am going to seek God. I want the word from me tonight. I need to hear from God. For me, first thing that happened, I got there late because Atlanta traffic is something else. And then the parking garage was full, not letting anybody else in. And then all the parking spaces on the streets in downtown Atlanta at 7 o'clock at night, they were full because of this big meeting in town. And so, the enemy again. Go back home! It's hopeless! It's useless! And I had to stand again. See the armor, having done all? Stand. And I thought, I'm going to keep driving. If I get in there late, it's all right. I want the Lord to know. You see, there's something about when they couldn't get to Jesus because there wasn't any room.
Come on,
I remembered that. Ain't no room. Must not be God's will to heal him today. Take him back and let him languish in his disease. But Jesus is in that house, but there's no room in there. God says, well, we came to get him to Jesus. There's no room in there. We'll have to resort to something else here. They hauled his side on that stretcher up to the roof of the house and tore a hole in the roof big enough to let him and the stretcher down in. And Jesus noticed that right in the middle of all his preaching and teaching. He noticed that. Isn't it amazing? It captured his attention. Isn't that something? He wasn't so involved that he didn't notice that. Can you imagine how quiet it got when the roof started messing up and they started, and then a man comes roaring down and he's looking over at them. And they're trying to get the ropes right. And when he saw their faith, woo! There's where the miracle occurred. There's where the miracle occurred. There's where the miracle occurred. My uncle needed deliverance, and he went to a meeting just like I did. And I remembered that. He said, I was going, but there was a lot of traffic. I couldn't find a parking space. I turned around and went home. You know what he did when he got home? After all those years pastoring in the Church of God, you know what he did? He got him a bottle of vodka, and he mashed up Valium in a solution and put it right in his arm to find his peace. The devil defeated him. What if he had pushed on? What if he had went on? What if he had just went on in? Amen, anyway. And I remember that. I said, I'm going to keep driving around this block, Lord. I'm going to keep driving around this block. Amen. I made one circle around the block, and a person pulled out. When they pulled out, I pulled in. And I said, thank you, Jesus. And then I went in. But when I got in, there wasn't any room anywhere. And I thought, I walked in and there was no place to sit. It was full, wall to wall. Every chair was full. And I thought, you know something? There's people already standing here, but I'm going to go over there, down back in through the lobby, go up into that other area of this Omni, this big, huge convention building, and I'm going to stand with those people. But I want to stand where I can see. I want to stand where I can hear. I wish I wasn't back here where all the distractions would come. I wish I could just zero in on whatever the Lord has to say. I'm the one indeed tonight. Amen. Not selfishly. I was admitting I'm the one who's broken and needs fixing tonight. I started down through the lobby, and a lady looked to be about 65 years old. She came running up to me, white hair, smile on her face. She says, young man, young man. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you looking for a seat? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, young man, do you believe that God speaks to people? I said, yes, ma'am. Boy, I wanted to hear him too. Listen, there's a state you can get in, even if God's going to chew you out, say, just to hear your voice, Lord. Just to know you're there. Hallelujah. Go ahead and correct me, but talk to me. Do you believe God speaks to people? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, before we go in, I got to tell you something. She said, we had a friend that was supposed to come to this meeting. And I'm sitting with two other ladies. And we went down front, on the front row. We got here 2 hours early. And we've been sitting on the front row saving those seats for us and this friend that was coming. We put our purses in that empty chair so nobody would take it. Three times, she said. The usher said, if there's anybody who got an empty seat, raise your hand. Because the place is full. People would raise their hand, somebody would take that seat, that seat, that seat. So my friend looked over at me and said, we better give up the seat. Don't look like our friend is coming. Somebody needs a seat. She said, young man, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, don't you give up that seat. I'm saving it for somebody else. Said, we sat there and it's time for the service to start. Said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me again. Said, go out in the lobby. He's here. Woo! Glory to God. You know something? To know that God had saved me a seat because God wanted me to sit down, shut up, and receive the Word of God to touch me, to help me, and to heal me. To know that God was working to get me where He could speak to my heart through the Word. Hallelujah, that He loved me enough to save me a seat in the Omni. Hallelujah, if I'm in business enough to keep on driving around and not give up and go home. She led me to that seat. They got their purses out of it. I sat down and, oh man, that night the Word just came to me. And there was only one scripture and it sounded so simple and I knew it by heart, but it was Rhema. It came by the Spirit of God, not just from, you understand there's a difference when it strikes you right there. It went right deep inside my heart. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. That's a given. I know that. Fundamental to the faith. But boy, when He zings it in your heart. And I thought, I'm going to come out of this thing. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't know. But I know one thing. This is the beginning of my deliverance. This is the beginning of my healing. Whenever it happens, wherever it happens, it started right here tonight. Because faith rose up and said, I'm still believing God. And I came home, told Pamela what had happened, and it didn't happen immediately. We went through some real valleys after that. But there was a sense, and I don't know how to explain it, even though it was an instant, there was a sense, God is with you. And what I preach now from that valley, I preach differently than when I preach from that mountaintop. It sounded like more faith and victory when I preach from the mountaintop. But when God takes you through that valley, you begin to understand, appreciate, and appropriate grace more in your life. Can you say amen? You quit taking credit for what God is doing. You give the glory to the only one that the glory is due. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when He pulls you up, you know wherever you are, you're there because of His grace. You're there because of His mercy. Can you say amen? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season when He sees you're able to handle it. Now, we know what happened. Thank God for restoration. Thank God for forgiveness. We can learn from others' mistakes if we'll listen. If we'll listen. If we'll listen. Some of you in here have been saved a long time. Some of you in here are anointed and appointed, and you have gifts and revelations. You are in danger. You're in danger. I'm not hesitating to tell you. Some of you are reading the Bible and you can rightfully divide it. You're in danger. Because the moment you think that you are exempt from repentance, exempt from admission of your weaknesses, your inabilities, you are in a precarious place spiritually. Amen? Amen? When you're little in your own eyes, God gives you authority. But when you say, behold, I stand, that don't mean we shouldn't be examples of victory, but we don't give ourselves credit for it. We give Him the glory for it. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, whatever, however God uses me, what He's done in my life, what He's doing through me right now, it's all by the grace of God. Because without the sufficiency of His grace, I couldn't stand here and preach. None of these gifts would be flowing through me. I would have been distracted, discouraged, and destroyed. But because of the sufficiency of His grace, I stand here today. Can you say, man, hallelujah, by the grace of God. Amen. And God taught him that lesson when he came to an end of himself. And here's a confession you will be told never to make. Never be that honest. Never expose yourself that much. Somebody might not respect you like they did if you become authentic and transparent. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. Some of you are looking at me kind of crazy now. Everybody got a Bible? This is what's in it. This is what's in it. Now, I've read all the other books, and I said this, and I got to quit saying so much because it's about time to quit. But if in the cartoon sense, when the lights go out at the Christian bookstore, and all those books, because, honey, everybody has written a book explaining to you all there is to know. I like what Vance Havner said. He said the commentaries, the Bible sheds a lot of light on the commentaries. You need to get the Bible in you first. I got Brother So-and-so's book. I got a book here too. Haven't read his, but I have read this. And when I read his, it better line up with this. Because if it don't, I'm going to lay it down. Oh, but Brother Bimbo, that's Brother So-and-so. Oh, this is Jesus. He trumps him. To me. That's my choice. You know what would happen? There's a row of Bibles back there at the back row of the Christian bookstore. Isn't it amazing? All these people that write books, it's their picture on the front. Glamour shot from Olin Mills. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. Of course you are, my dear. You need to follow Jesus for a change. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? They're ministers in their own right. One plants, another waters, but only God can give the increase. Can you say, man, only God? Every book would come off the shelf, line up in front of the Word of God. Amen? Every commentary, every book from every major speaker, let God be true. And anything that is not what He has said, let it become a lie. But let God be true. Let Him have the final authority. The final word is His. James Robinson chose another route. Actually, when James Robinson was in the highlight of his ministry, he was ministering to more people per year than Billy Graham, because Billy Graham held every 3 or 6 months big crusades. He was ministering every month. He had a problem that he confessed openly. Since we're talking about what people say, this is what people say. I'm not letting no cats out of the bag. I'm telling you. When Jim Baker was building the last hotel that he had oversold, he got a letter from David Wilkerson. It said, unless there's repentance at PTL, the birds of the air will nest in that building. You'll never complete it. His choice, and he told this. Isn't this amazing? You got to get honest about this stuff. He wadded it up, threw it in the garbage can. It wasn't long. And when someone close to him said, you can't keep selling, but you don't have rooms to accommodate, he told them, because when you're in that position and the millions are rolling in and everybody's lifting you up, you know what he said? He said, sit down, hush up. You're witnessing the miracle of the fish and loaves. No, that was not the miracle of the fish and loaves, all that money. That was personality pushing buttons. And the money was rolling in. And the little man and the little woman that wanted souls to come into the kingdom and not trying to build some Disneyland for Christians. When he was humble, God used both of them. But when the pride entered, no one could counsel them. No one could talk to them. Can you say, man, I meet preachers like that, Brother Taylor. You know one reason I really appreciate this preacher? And love him to grace my pulpit. Our pulpit now, amen. Praise God, he's in it as much as I am. Is because he's not self-promoting. I believe he could get something out of this message today for himself. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. No one could talk to the man. He wouldn't confess to anybody. He would not humble himself. Pride had entered, and that will keep you from humbling yourself. Amen. But if we'll humble ourselves and be real and open to God, God will deliver you from anything. God will do it. God would have done it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But I found out one thing about God. He doesn't cover up for nobody's sin, even to the hurt of his own cause. James Robinson said, I would be making the altar call after a sermon, and an attractive lady would be on the front row. And my eyes went to her during the altar call. That's how strong temptation can become. But he admitted it, number one, to who? To himself and to God. And he said, I would go back afterwards And the enemy then jump on him and say, how can you preach to others when you have this in your heart? And he said, I would preach again. And he said, months went by as I wrestled with this. And see, as long as he wanted to get it personally and privately without demonstrating humility, nothing happened to deliver it. But he said he had a Pentecostal brother. It's amazing because he was not initially a Pentecostal preacher. But he said, I had a Pentecostal brother. And I called him up and I confessed it to him. Amen. And he came over. And there's this man in this state of humility, qualifying for grace and strength beyond himself now. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He didn't say I couldn't confess it to anybody because I'm James Robinson. He said, I am a man in need of God's deliverance. Amen. And you know what? He said, this man laid hands on me. Amen. He told that spirit that was troubling me to leave me. Amen. He pled the blood of Jesus over me. Praise God. And God set me free. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, God set me free. Aren't you glad that he opened up, that he didn't let pride keep him, amen, from the deliverance that he needed? So I'm going to close with this. Saul tried to hang on to the kingdom in his pride. He went to the priest. A big battle is to be fought. He wants God's anointing because God's anointing was on him and it came. And they won their battles because of God's anointing. He asked the priest, shall I go into battle or not? And they said, you better not. You're not right with God. He ain't going to be with you in the battle. Guess what? When pride enters, what happens? I'm not listening to nobody. I'm anointed and I'm the king. Can you see him strut his stuff? He didn't go out and slay no giant, did he? No, it took a shepherd boy. And he couldn't even wear Saul's armor. He cast it off. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. He wasn't going to slay this giant either. He had the priest slain. He had him slain! And he went into battle under his own steam. Thought, the Spirit of the Lord's going to be with me because I'm anointed. And he was anointed. He was anointed. Jonathan's loyalty was to his family instead of his God. He knew his daddy was wrong, but he went with him anyway. Here's something. You don't follow your family down the wrong road. Can you say amen? Amen. You follow Jesus. You follow Jesus. You follow. I'm going to that old dead church because my mama go there. Well, if you let the dead bury the dead. You follow him. Can you say amen? Amen? That's religion. That's just the practice of dead religion. It's a social club. Soul drying up and withering. But I go to church there. This ain't about just going to church. This is about following Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. They go into battle. Saul is slain. Jonathan is slain. A large number of the army is killed. When the news gets to David, instead of saying, ha, 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 I should have been the king all along, and now I'm going to be. No, that's not the man that he picked. Here's what he said. How art the mighty fallen? Daughters of Jerusalem, weep and wail. I saw it happen. I've seen the weeping and wailing of people watching anointed leaders fall. Implying that everybody is susceptible to defeat and destruction. No, we're all susceptible to pride. Amen. And that's what lets the devil in. Amen. And the anointing doesn't keep you from being proud. You've got to let that mind be in you which was in the most anointed man in the world who humbled himself. daughters of Jerusalem, weep for Saul and for Jonathan. They were swift as eagles in battle. God used to go with them in battle. And they brought back the spoils of war and they clothed you with all kinds of jewels and riches. But they're defeated and destroyed. By the way, the enemy, filled with such hate and anger against God's appointed leadership at one time, they didn't just kill them. They hacked them to pieces. And they burned the pieces and collected the bones and buried only bones. Now that's defeat. But here's what David said, and listen carefully. How art the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, two capital cities of the Philistines. Publish it not in Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Don't publish it. The devil's going to get that out. Can you say amen? He loves it when preachers fail. Leadership fails. It was as if. David said it was as if they had not been anointed. They died in such defeat. It was as if, but they were anointed at one time. And what short-circuited all of that power? Pride. Am I correct here today? Is this in your Bible?
Amen.
So when I warned you, everyone in this room, about the danger, will you accept that warning for you?
Yes.
Don't be like the guy that was so humble, everybody recognized his humility, so they give him a badge that said, the most humble. He wore it to church the next Sunday, and they took it away from him. Can you say amen? You can have pride in your humility. Oh, I'm so humble. I've seen people couldn't hardly preach for crying. But you get to know them personally, you would find out that's not humility. That's, hey, look how humble I am. There are people fast to be seen of men, and they look very dedicated. Jesus said, when men applaud you because you hang your head like a bulrush, try to act more spiritual than anybody else, he said, you have your reward. That's what you went after. That's all you're going to get. God's not going to bless you at all. No matter what, you went to Burger King, got a double order. Amen? Amen? As far as God is concerned, I've been fasting for 10 days. He said, get out of here. Just get out of here. That's pride. He said, anoint your face and don't let nobody know it. Woo! When you pray, don't pray as the Pharisees. They're so full of pride. Don't pray like them. Enter into your closet. Nobody can see it and hear it and applaud it. Only God. He that seeth in secret will reward you openly. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now as we are at the end of this service, how many people in this room will say, Pastor Venable, because I've seen too many appointed, anointed people fail. How many people in this room will consider the need for humility in your life? More than you want appreciation, more than you want applause, more than you want people to look up to you, you want to be the humble servant of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? It is a rebuke. Everything Jesus did rebuked the world system and the devil that runs it. Born the King of the universe. Don't blame the innkeeper. God planned it. Hallelujah. Amen. Born where? A rebuke. To everything that greatness is supposed to be enshrouded with, born in a manger. Triumphal entry into Jerusalem, white horse, golden chariot. No. Thy king shall come unto thee, riding in a Bentley. That was a chariot with six horses back in the day. Amen? He will come unto thee riding the foal of an ass. With all of that power, when they took him before the councils, because he was dedicated to go to that cross as a lamb dumb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. When he did open it, he asked God to forgive those that put him on that cross and took pleasure in his pain. So we don't need big shots, do we? We don't need any more big shots. We don't need any more big shots. We don't need any more big shots. Maybe you were a big shot where you came from, but you cannot be a big shot here. I'm not looking for no big shot to tell me what a big shot that you are. I'm looking for somebody to be the humble servant and follower of Jesus Christ. I've met too many big shots since I've been in ministry. I've watched the big shots fail. I've watched the big shots fall. But I'm telling you, there is victory in Jesus for those that will humble themselves and confess their sins. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Confess your faults to who? One to another. That what? That you may be healed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So God can do something about it. So God can take care of it. So God doesn't have to let it be exposed to finally humble you down. So God can head the devil off before he hurts you and hurts others through your fall and your failure. Everybody that's got men on pedestals, don't you think it's time to get men off the pedestals? Nobody's falling is going to make me go back, because nobody hung on the cross for me but Jesus Christ. And I have an allegiance to him, not to them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Shandadabaroshala. If you're sitting here on Sunday morning thinking, why don't they recognize me as something special? Amen. Why don't they recognize my special anointing and my special gifts? You're in the wrong church. We're not here to talk about you. We're not here to talk about me. We're here to lift up Jesus Christ. This is different. You're in a different church. You're in a different church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, it's not your title. God's favor comes to those that say, all I want is to bring honor to you and glory to you. I've been in this thing too long. I've come too far. I've had too many smart alecks, amen, try to minister to me. And it doesn't matter. I've had too many people want to tell me, amen, I've heard it for 40 years. Brother Taylor, I am tired of it. That's pride. It's arrogance. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Follow me as I follow Christ. If I don't follow Christ, don't you ever follow me. Amen. But leave the rest of it. Leave the rest of it alone. Because if you know more than me, you don't belong here. You belong out there. Go rent a building. Go rent a building. Declare yourself to be the great one that you are. Save the world. Amen. Don't belong under a pastor. What good am I? You know it all. You know the will of the Lord. You know what ought to be done. Can't even have a prayer meeting without someone criticizing the prayer. I love the story of the man that he prayed and he mispronounced a few words. He had a problem with his pronunciation. As soon as he's done praying, I remember preaching one time. I was into that omnipresence of God instead of saying, or the omniscience and the omnipresence instead of and the omnipresence. Anyway, I pronounced something wrong. It was a powerful sermon. People came to the Lord that night. A dear brother came up to me after the service. And he said, do you realize you pronounced it that wrong? And I thought, no, I didn't. You know, but I stood corrected. I humbled myself. And I stood corrected, but I thought he didn't get the whole service. But he was sitting there waiting. He pronounced that wrong. I'm going to have to straighten him out as soon as this service is over. People coming to God, he ain't even praying for him, but he's going to straighten me out after the service. So this guy stood up, and he prayed an earnest prayer from the heart over the service, but he pronounced two words wrong when he prayed. So our dear brother's going to straighten him out. Tell him about his diction and his pronunciation. Can you say amen? So he told him, says, do you realize while you were praying you pronounced two words wrong? And this guy wasn't quite as humble as me. He looked back at him and said, well, excuse me, I wasn't talking to you. I don't think the Lord gets too upset when it's coming from the heart. Can you say, man, hallelujah. If you pray from the heart, believe me, friend, God is listening. That was the interpretation of that message today. My ears open to you. Cry unto me. Call unto me. Praise God. Well, Sister Venerable, I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever God has in store. Praise the Lord. He can demote me, promote me. Amen. Whatever he wants to do, he can do. But I'm not looking to anybody else for it. The Bible said promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, the north, or the south. Well, it has to come from the north. Amen. And he sits upon the congregation in the north. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Amen. This may be my promotion. You may be. Amen. What God wants me to minister to, you may be the people God has this message for. Somebody here, God may want to promote. As soon as you get over yourself. Just as soon as you get over yourself. And say, Lord, there's nothing too little for me to do for you. He may give you something big. I don't know what he's got in store. But you've got to be willing. I'll tell you one more thing. It's almost one. We've took 30 minutes too long. But this is an important message. And I don't know when he's going to call me home. So I'm going to sow into you something that can help you with God. As long as I got an opportunity to do it. Because if someone promotes you somewhere and applauds you and puts you on a pedestal, they're aiding and abetting the enemy to get pride into your heart. And the moment that that happens, God begins to resist that within you and within me. Paul said, as we close, lest I be lifted up above measure because of the many revelations. This is a good thing, but it's dangerous because the flesh can't handle all of that recognition. The flesh will want to touch and take the glory for itself. Amen. And only you and I can crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. And you're never too old to do it. You've never been in church too long that it never applies to you. That attitude and that thought exempts you from repentance and confession and being honest with yourself. Can you say amen? Shandarabakoroba. And if the mighty have fallen due to pride, where do you think you're going to stand? How do you think you're going to make it? How do you think you're going to overcome without repentance? This is a serious time. How can the mighty fall with such an anointing? Pride goeth before destruction, anointed or not, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Sister Ruth, I haven't been able to teach very many people down through the years. Because you can't teach a know-it-all nothing. They don't even come in to learn. They got another agenda. Their mind is out somewhere else. They don't come to sit at Jesus' feet like Mary did and get that shall not be taken. Amen. So, Brother Taylor, I have to admit, I haven't been able to teach very many people 40 years of ministry, particularly those that see themselves as such high, holy ones because they never repent. They only minister to others. They never see the need. They become blind to their own pride. But this morning, God is calling you and me. In that meeting, 150 ministers got out of their seat because the preacher preaching said, I don't care if you drive a Bentley or a Volkswagen. I don't care if you got a Timex or a Rolex. God is calling to humble yourself before Him. And I saw 150 ministers get out of their seat. And no one knelt. Not one of the 150 even knelt. I have not seen it before. I have not seen it since. Quite frankly, with a broken heart, I don't expect to see it. But we need it. We need it. It's hard to preach when you don't feel like it's making any difference at all. Amen. It's very difficult. Sister Venable, we've come a long way. It's been a bumpy ride. 40 years I've learned something, and that is how little I know without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And without the grace of God. Hallelujah. In this room, there are people God wants to use. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. There's no reed shaken by the wind today. Bring that message, Ruth. Let God do it in His timing. Hallelujah. 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 How many would rather learn from others' mistakes than to make your own? How many would rather listen to wisdom than to just always be ready to teach others? How many would sit at the feet of Jesus in a church service? Just sit at the feet of Jesus. Say, Lord, speak to me. Thy servant heareth. Can you say, man, speak to me. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to somebody in this room. Amen. To speak to somebody in this room. Sandada Mariti Yandara Bokosa Setadana Masataya Kela Baba. If you're ready to confess your sin, He's ready to cleanse you. Not only forgive you, but cleanse you. Halama Shodadama Sata. But you gotta be ready. amen, to humble down. And oh, Shadama Siti Andadabakosala Ada Nandadabasa, choose something soft, and just something soft. Something soft. The Lord is calling. The